is The Dial from Aspen Public Radio, in-depth conversations about current Roaring Fork Valley issues with the reporters who know them best. I'm Kristen Kay. It's June 8th.
One of the reasons I think I should be on City Council again is I've learned this. I've learned how to work with the city. I've learned this process and how that you can make incremental changes and they eventually add up to a substantial change improvement.
I really do love Aspen. I've been here quite a while, raised two children here. In the process of raising two children, we've bonded with a lot of white knuckle hockey trips going over the pass, and I really do care about the future of Aspen. I've been active on a number of issues and find myself that I want to be proactive and not reactive.
That was Ann Mullins and Ward Howenstein talking with Aspen Public Radio in April about why they were running for Aspen City Council. Well, they'll get a chance to put those words in action. Mullins was elected in the first round of voting. Howenstein was elected Tuesday night by a narrow margin of just 29 votes in the runoff election. Reporter Allison Bektesh has covered the City Council election from the beginning. I spoke with her about the mood on election night, decisions facing the new council, and what the new dynamic might bring. So you were in the room when Ward Howenstein was announced the winner. What was that like?
It's funny because he actually was the only candidate in the room. His opponent, Tory, had told me earlier in the day that he would be there, but ended up sending a proxy. So it was very much a celebration. The winner was who was in the room. He got a phone call from his wife right afterwards, and you could hear her. She didn't know who won. You could hear her screaming on the other end in joy. He had a whole family and friends at his home, and you can hear them celebrating in the background. So it was pretty joyous in the room.
So now does he get started right away?
Yes and no. There is a regular council meeting this coming Monday, but then not again until the 26th of June. So there's a couple weeks in the middle where there'll be some lead-up time. The council is going to prepare for a big transportation update, and they have their two-day retreat where they set the top 10 goals for the city, priorities for what this council is going to accomplish in the next year. It's a little bit symbolic, but when you go through the list of last year's top 10 goals, almost everything has been crossed out. But work does start Monday for Ward. There is a official swearing-in ceremony. He will actually physically replace Art Daly, who will be sitting at the opening of the city council. And then there's kind of this official relinquishment of that seat. And remember, he isn't the only one who won an election this spring. And Mullins also had to fight in that crowded field to get back on council. She told me her whole family is coming on Monday for her swearing-in ceremony. I almost want to say it is like we'll have two new council members this term.
Oh, why do you say that?
So I want to play you a clip from May 2nd, just after she won the general election.
The poor mayor's in for it because I have this whole list of things now. I've had so much communication with the community in the last 6 weeks. I've got all these items I want to address the minute we get back on council.
You know, she was the only one to gain enough votes outright to sit on council, and that gives her more confidence. She knows a good percent of the public want her there, pushing for what she talked about on the campaign trail. She was never the single vote type. When I interviewed her as she was a candidate, she prefaced that to say, that means I'm a good team worker. If we know where the vote's going, I'll come over. But I think we might see more instances in these next 4 years where she does stand her ground because she has that confidence from winning the vote outright in the general election.
So after this election season, how do you see the dynamic on council?
So it's not a diverse council in some ways as far as age, you know, longevity in Aspen, income. No one on council is in the affordable housing program, for instance. No one is in that young professional category. And in Aspen, when you run for city council, you don't even have to declare a political party. So that type of normal politics is not what's going to be at play with this council. Though I should mention that Ward had a strong backing from conservative Republican voter base. We'll see how beholden he feels to that. He also comes on with vocal support from sitting council members, both Adam Frisch and Bert Myron. So we'll see what if that becomes kind of a team. The thing that makes me think that won't is Myron, during the spring campaign, pointed out an extensive list of what he thought, specifically Steve and Ant, since they were rerunning, had done to let the public down. But it was pretty much an overall criticism of this council that he came on as an outsider just 2 years ago. And Ward is kind of the next generation of that. Instead of fighting council, I'll join council. So we'll have a little bit of that dynamic just in governance. Speaking of Mayor Steve Skadron, It's his last 2 years of public service. He's term limited. Adam Frisch is also coming off of 2 terms as a city council member and maybe lining up a mayoral run. So you are going to have some conflict of kind of small picture and big picture goals as everyone sets the stage for the next coming years.
How about major issues that this council will be making the call on that are coming up?
So I mentioned that in the next couple of weeks, they're going to have this presentation about transportation. It's coming from the Elected Officials Transportation Committee, who commissioned a study for how to solve the entrance to Aspen. Of course, anyone listening is going to chuckle here because it's been the problem without a solution forever. What's interesting is the consultants say we should pave over Marolt, have a direct line from the roundabout to Main Street, and forget this S-curves Hallam Street stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So this new council will be between a rock and a hard place. We're like professionals who say this is better for the environment. This is better for efficiency. This is going to do a better job of keeping up with modern day transportation like bus rapid transit, like these apps that everyone's using. But then they're going to have a public who's voted that down over and over and over again. And it is the voters of Aspen who are going to be making that call and who make the call on who's on council next. So actually the first thing that this council is going to see is something that's been controversial in Aspen for 40 years. We also have the City Hall development. That's controversial for multiple reasons. Size is one of them, but Burt and Ward have both mentioned just its environmental impact. And if we're building a new building, shouldn't we make it as environmentally neutral as possible? And that's not what's in the plans right now. So you even have some people on council, not just citizens, who are complaining about the plans for a new big city hall right at the Rio Grande Park. And then Gorsuch and Lift 1A will come back ahead. Mm-hmm. That was a big thing this spring. We're all in a breather right now. And actually, Gorsuch House is talking with kind of who has been their rivals in this. There's development plans that are approved but not yet built right south of them, where people are saying they want a new ski lift to start. So I think there is going to be a consensus where these two developers are coming together and saying, hey, we'll build you a ski lift that starts closer to town, which is what city council wants. We'll have to see what they will have to give up for if they get that wish.
Huh. So city council is really getting their feet wet with some controversial issues right away.
It'll be fun to watch as always.
This is The Dial from Aspen Public Radio. That was reporter Allison Bektash on the new makeup of the Aspen City Council and some issues they'll probably face. Here's what else is going on in your valley. The City of Aspen's fee on disposable grocery bags was in front of the Colorado Supreme Court earlier this week. You know how if you forget your reusable bags, you pay 20 cents to use paper bags supplied by our grocery stores? Well, the nonprofit group Colorado Union of Taxpayers contends that the fee is actually a tax, and so it should have gone to a vote because of Tabor laws. Better still remember those reusable bags, though. No time frame for the state's highest court to make their ruling. And if you go boating at Rudeye Reservoir this summer, you'll notice new gates at the boat ramp. Officials are restricting access so they can more effectively screen for invasive species of mussels. They've already spread throughout lakes in almost all the states that surround us. If you're wondering why go to the trouble to try and keep these mussels out of Colorado water, it's because they can demolish the entire food chain. You've been listening to The Dial. I'm Kristen Kay. To hear more extended interviews or to listen to more local programs like Valley Roundup or Curated, go to aspenpublicradio.org.